Your marriage is what you make it. In fact, everybody else in the world wants to keep you from spending time with your husband or your wife. Your girlfriends, the guys, all kinds of people would rather have you spend time with them than with your husband or with your wife. And yet the University of Nebraska did a study on what makes a fantastic marriage. And they discovered that the common denominator in every great marriage was real simple. They spend a lot of time together. They spend a lot of time together.
Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we come to the last couple of days in a series called You Make Me Crazy. These teachings take a biblical look at topics like peace in our relationships, finding true love, breaking free from abuse, resolving conflict, ending the cycle of people-pleasing, and dealing with the crazy makers in our lives. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how you can get a copy of this life-changing audio series in its entirety. You can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com while you listen. If you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 99000 to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called How to Keep Your Marriage Growing.
Now, I wonder if you've ever been so preoccupied with what you felt you needed to say that you couldn't hear a single word of what your husband or your wife was saying. You want to keep your marriage growing, you got to keep on paying attention. Look at what the Bible says about this. Let's read Proverbs 18:13 with great enthusiasm. Answering before listening is both stupid and rude. That's one to put up on the refrigerator. There you go. Answering before listening is both stupid and rude. Now, why should I pay attention to my spouse? Well, there are two really good reasons. Number one, you love that person. And love means paying attention. When you give attention, you're showing love. More important, number two, sometimes God is speaking through your spouse. Oh, yeah. In fact, God's favorite way to speak to you next to the Bible is through your spouse. Hello? Now, they don't realize it. They think it's their brilliant idea, but it's really God. I can't tell you how many times God has spoken to me through my wife, Kay. And she has said things that just went inside my soul that I knew she didn't know what was going on in me, and yet God did, and what God was saying to me was through her. Look at this verse. The Bible says in Job 33:14, God speaks in different ways, and we don't always recognize his voice. A lot of times we don't recognize it because we're not listening. We're not paying attention to our spouse. Your husband or wife does not even have to be a Christian for God to speak through them. God speaks through all kinds of people. Now, when God gives you an idea, we call it inspiration. When the devil gives you an idea, we call it temptation. But it's coming out through your husband's voice or your wife's voice, and you need to pay attention. Because God may be wanting to say something to you at that very moment that you need to hear, and he's your wife or your husband is the closest megaphone he could find. Why don't we pay better attention to our husbands or our wives? Well, one reason is pride. You know, we think we know it all. Another is presumption. We think we know what they're going to say. And a third reason is a lot of times we're just in a hurry to get out what we want to say, so we're not even listening to what the other person says. So God gives us an antidote. James 1:19. Notice it says, well, let's read it aloud. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, if you do the first two parts of that sentence, the third one's automatic. If you are quick to listen, and if you are slow to speak, you will be automatically slow to get angry, and it will keep your marriage going and growing. You must keep on paying attention. Tom's going to talk about the next one.
There's a second thing that you can do to keep your marriage growing, and that is keep on making adjustments. Keep on making adjustments, because over the years, you're going to face lots of opportunities to make adjustments. Things are going to change. Your kids are going to grow up if you have kids. You're going to find yourself moving from time to time, job changes, even illnesses force us to make adjustments. And because circumstances keep changing, you have to keep adjusting. And as we adjust, let's just admit it, we're adjusting as two imperfect people. We're not adjusting in this situation where everybody's perfect. I also noticed a letter from Dear Abby this last week. Somebody wrote in and said, "Dear Abby, I'm 40 years old and I'd like to meet a mature man my age with no bad habits." Signed, Rose. Abby wrote back, "Dear Rose, so would I." Because the truth is, we all need to learn to grow to adjust to each other. That's just the truth of the matter. It takes unselfishness to adjust. In fact, learning to be unselfish, it's one of the greatest lessons of life. It's one of the greatest lessons. In fact, maybe the number one lesson that God wants to teach you through your marriage is to learn to be unselfish. If you want to be selfish, never get married, because to have a successful relationship, you've got to learn to be unselfish. To do what the Bible talks about in 1 John 3:18. Would you read this verse with me? "Our love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action, in the way that you act." So what does this involve? What does adjusting to your husband or your wife involve? Well, it involves a couple things. First of all, it means thinking about what he or she needs the most. Thinking about their needs and not just your needs anymore. It involves what the Bible talks about in Philippians 2:4 when it says, "Look out for one another's interests and not just your own." I don't know why it is that the longer we're married, the less we think about each other's needs. It's sort of a crazy thing. You might have heard about the newlyweds who they drove up to a hotel and the wife says to the husband, "Oh, honey, I don't want anybody to know we're married. Let's not act like we're newlyweds." And the husband says to the wife, "Okay, you carry the bags." Why is it that we think more and more about our needs and less about the needs of the person that we love? The Bible says we're supposed to be concerned about everyone's needs, and that's especially true in our homes. You think about, what does the other person need? Adjusting also means what the Bible calls submitting to each other. Giving up my rights, giving up the thing that I really want in order to meet another person's need. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21. Honor Christ by submitting to each other. Now, I know how some guys think about this because I talked to you. I mean, some guys think, well, wait a minute, this thing. I mean, isn't the husband supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home? And yes, you're right about that. The Bible says husbands are supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home. And so you think, hey, isn't the wife supposed to, like, follow her husband? And yes, that's also true. But that doesn't mean that she does all the adjusting. If you're the leader, what does that mean? It means you're out in front, right? It means you're doing it first. That's what you do to lead. So to lead in adjusting means you make the first decision. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, be willing to sacrifice like Jesus sacrificed his life for the church. Be willing to adjust to meet the other person's need. That's what it's really all about. There's a lot of ways to adjust that we have to adjust through life. A lot of big things. But you know where it's the most difficult to adjust? With the little things. That's what I found. You know, the biggest argument Shondell and I ever had was over whether in my closet the top button of my shirt should be buttoned or not when it was hung up on the... I mean, see, she thought it should be buttoned so it wouldn't get wrinkled, you know. And I thought it should be unbuttoned so I could just get it out really quick in the morning. I was thinking about that this morning as I was unbuttoning my shirt from the hanger to put the... What I was thinking was, we need to adjust with the little things. Maybe it means arriving a little bit later or leaving a little bit earlier. Maybe it means going to bed a little bit later or a little bit earlier. Maybe it means watching what the other person wants to watch on TV or going to the movie they want to go to or the restaurant they want to go to. Maybe it means listening when they need you to listen to them and not when you want to listen to them. It's in those little daily decisions to adjust to meet each other's needs that real, genuine love is expressed. That's where it comes from. You see, the test of real love isn't what you say about how you love each other. It's how you act. You want greater harmony in your home? There's just one decision you have to make. Just one decision. Treat your mate as Jesus would. You make that one decision, it changes everything. You begin to think that way. That is the definition of mature love. To treat other people as Jesus would. He's our example. What does that mean? That means that you begin to become more patient with annoyances. That means you begin to become more forgiving. You forgive mistakes. You give up some of your fantasies, some of your unrealistic expectations of what marriage would be, and you enjoy what it really is. And you seek what's best for the other person. You do what the Bible talks about in Romans 15, verse 5, where the Bible says, "May God help you to live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ Jesus." Would you circle those words? Attitude of Christ Jesus. Each with the attitude of Christ Jesus towards the other. When you think that way, that helps you to begin to make the adjustments that keep your marriage growing.
The third way to keep your marriage growing is to keep on showing affection. You got to pay attention. You got to make adjustments. You got to keep on showing affection. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Now, I'm sure you'd all agree that it's easier to fall in love than it is to stay in love. How do you rekindle a lost love? When the feelings aren't there, when the spark has gone out, when the thrill is gone in your marriage, how do you rekindle the affection that you felt for each other at the beginning of your marriage? Well, you do what Jesus told a church to do. In the book of Revelation, Jesus told some Christians at the church of Laodicea, he said, "You guys have lost your first love for me. And here's how you get your first love for me back." And he tells them four things to do. Now, it just so happens that the advice that Jesus gave to Jesus, that Jesus gave to the church for coming back to him, are the same four things you need to do if you've lost the romantic feelings of affection for your husband or for your spouse, your wife. Look at what the Bible says. Revelation 2. Jesus said, "The love you had at first is gone. Remember how far you have fallen. Return to me, change the way you think and act, and do what you did at first." Now he says here four things: remember, return, repent, and repeat. First he says, I want you to remember. Circle that word. He says, if you want to get the lost love back, you start remembering why you fell in love in the first place. Think about those good times. Remember the happy days. Remember the feeling of being in love and of being affectionate. And rekindle those feelings simply starts by remembering. God gave you a memory, and you have to stop thinking about all the problems you've got now and go back and remember, why did we fall in love in the first place? That's the first step. Then he says, next is return. He says, return to me. Turn your focus back to me. Your focus has gotten on a lot of other things, on your problems, on your pressures, on your stresses, on your career. And he says, if you want to return to your first love, you've got to turn your attention back, return to me, refocus on me. And then the third thing he says is repent. He says, change the way you think and act. The Greek word for that, metanoia, is the word repent. Now let's just review here. Love is not a feeling. It is not a feeling. It creates feelings. It creates enormous feelings. But love is not a feeling. Love is a choice.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. And while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional. Take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Again, that's the word DAILY to 99000.
Thanks for being with us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you're enjoying this series and today's message, but can't really dive into it because you've got a long day in the office ahead of you, kids to pick up, or meals to cook, then let us send you a copy of this entire series, which includes 6 full-length teachings from Pastor Rick. That way, you can listen from start to finish or just a little at a time, whenever it's best for you. You can even go back and listen over and over to your favorite messages. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll give you the choice of either a 6 audio CD box set or 6 downloadable high-quality MP3s. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com to get your copy of this series. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much for your support. There's only 2 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
Now it just so happens that the advice that Jesus gave to the church for coming back to Him are the same four things you need to do if you've lost the romantic feelings of affection for your husband or for your spouse, your wife. Look at what the Bible says. Revelation 2. Jesus said, "The love you had at first is gone. Remember how far you have fallen. Return to me. Change the way you think and act, and do what you did at first." Now he says here four things: remember, return, repent, and repeat. First, he says, I want you to remember. Circle that word. He says, if you want to get the lost love back, you start remembering why you fell in love in the first place. Think about those good times. Remember the happy days. Remember the feeling of being in love and of being affectionate. And rekindle those feelings simply starts by remembering. God gave you a memory, and you have to stop thinking about all the problems you've got now and go back and remember, why did we fall in love in the first place? That's the first step. Then he says, next is return. He says, return to me. Turn your focus back to me. Your focus has gotten on a lot of other things, on your problems, on your pressures, on your stresses, on your career. And he says, if you want to return to your first love, you've got to turn your attention back, return to me, refocus on me. And then the third thing he says is repent. He says, change the way you think and act. The Greek word for that, metanoia, is the word repent. Now let's just review here. Love is not a feeling. It is not a feeling. It creates feelings. It creates enormous feelings. But love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. It's a commitment that says, I'm going to put your best interest over my own. And anything other than that is not love. It may be lust. It may be attraction. It may be sexual arousal. It could be infatuation. But it's not love unless you're saying, I want to put your needs ahead of my needs. That's what real love is. And love is a choice. If love were a feeling, God couldn't command it, because you can't force a feeling. And yet in the Bible, over and over, God commands you to love. He commands you to love others. He commands you to love believers in the church family. He even commands you to love your enemies. Now, if love were a feeling, He couldn't say that. It's like a parent saying to a little child, I command you to be happy. I'm trying, Mommy, I'm trying. You can't force a feeling, but you can choose to love. You choose who you're going to love, and you choose who you're not going to love. And so you can make a choice and say, I'm going to choose to love this person that I used to feel affection toward, but I don't anymore. That's called repentance. It's changed the way you think and act. And then he says, after you remember and return and repent, he says, repeat. He says, do what you did at first. Do the things you did when you first fell in love. Act the way you used to act. Now, we've said it every session in this series that feelings always follow actions. It's easier to act your way into a feeling than it is to feel your way into an action. If you wait to feel affectionate and romantic, the devil will make sure you never feel it. So you choose to act in a loving way, and the feelings will come back. What am I saying? What you did to fall in love, you must continue to do to stay in love. And if you don't, you won't. Does that make sense? And if you say you don't do those things that you used to do, that's why you've lost that loving feeling. Baby. I only do that for this service. I just want you to know. I need your love. Do you know what the greatest enemy of romance is? It is not adultery. It is not anger. It is not bitterness. The number one enemy of romance is busyness. You're just too busy for each other. You don't have time together anymore. Your schedule is full, and your spouse has been sidelined by your schedule. And you're two ships passing in the night, rushing around, and you don't have time for each other. Now, let me tell you this. Nobody is going to make time for your marriage except you. Your boss isn't going to say, oh, go more, spend more time with your wife or your husband. No, you have to make time for your husband. You have to make time for your wife because nobody else is going to do it. Your marriage is what you make it. In fact, everybody else in the world wants to keep you from spending time with your husband or your wife. Your girlfriends, the guys, all kinds of people would rather have you spend time with them than with your husband or with your wife. And yet the University of Nebraska did a study on what makes a fantastic marriage. And they discovered that the common denominator in every great marriage was real simple. They spend a lot of time together. They spend a lot of time together. Now, I don't care how dedicated you are to Jesus Christ, what a wonderful Christian you are, if you don't spend time together, your marriage is going to drift apart. You have to spend time together. No matter how dedicated you are, you have to spend time together if you want to have a strong, healthy, deep marriage. Now, did you know that sexuality and spirituality are very closely related? Because God wired you up that way. You're not just a body, you are a spirit. And when your spirits are both in tune with God, He brings you together in a bonding that unbelievers know nothing about. And they know nothing about that level of intimacy. It's not just body to body, it's heart to heart, soul to soul, spirit to spirit. It's a kind of intimacy that God intended for every married couple to have, but it only comes when you're growing closer to God and your mate is growing closer to God and He pulls you both together and you spend time together. Christians should have better sex than anybody. You can quote me on that one. You know what Rick said the other day?
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement. Okay, confession time. You probably have a relationship that could drive you crazy if you let it. Whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, sibling, parent, coworker, or that crazy relative you see once a year at Thanksgiving, a crazy maker can really make life difficult. That's why Pastor Rick Warren asked us to put together the Crazy Makers Complete Audio Series. The collection includes 6 complete commercial-free messages that are sure to be a blessing to you and your loved ones. If you'd like to have this entire series on CD or downloadable MP3s for your personal library, just contact us today. We'll send it to you right away as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or you can give online at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. There's only 2 days left to get yours, so don't wait. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
If you think God will never use you again because of some mistake you've made in your past, I'm here to tell you that simply isn't true. You're wrong. You know, if God only used perfect people, nothing would ever get done. God only uses broken people. God only uses imperfect people because there are no perfect people. Now, right now, God wants to give you a fresh start. All you have to do is ask Him and then watch how He works in your life. So ask God. Pray the most dangerous prayer. It's only 2 words. Use me. And watch what God does. Thanks for listening today, everybody, and join me again next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.